Welcome to Shir Ramban, the Sof Ramban on Parshas Re'eh, that wanted to take it a little bit further. So we're going to take a look at a Ramban tonight, Perek Yudalid Pasuk Aleph. There the Pasuk says, Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, you are children of Hashem your God, Lo Siskodudu V'Lo Sosimu Karcho B'Rineichem L'Meis. You should not cut yourselves, nor should you cause a bald spot between your eyes or in your, you know, to rip out hair on account of a dead person. Again, we know that in the non-Jewish world around the Jewish people at the time of the Chumash, these were apparently common mourning practices. People would be in mourning over the loss of someone close to them, so they would cut themselves, they would literally rip out hair to cause bald spots. So because you are banim l'Hashem Elokeichem, because you are children of Hashem your God, do not engage in these kinds of actions as manifestations of mourning. So the Ramban focuses on this pasuk and offers a number of different explanations, among other things, between the two different halves of the pasuk. On the one hand, banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, you're children of God. On the other hand, don't cut yourselves, don't rip out hair as an expression of mourning. Okay, I understand, I'm not allowed to do that. Why is that follow from the concept of Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, that you're children of God? So the Ramban, we'll come back to that in just a moment, but he starts off by saying, Gamzo mitzvah mevo eres, sha'omar batara b'kohanim lo yikruchu karcho b'rosham, uviv saram lo yisritu sarotes. Truth is, says the Ramban, this mitzvah has already been mentioned in Chumash in a different context. In Parshas Emor, when outlining the halachos that are relevant to the Kohanim, so the Pasuk says that the Kohanim, lo yikruchu karcho b'rosham, they're not allowed to rip out hair, uviv saram lo yisritu sarotes, they're not allowed to make gashes upon their flesh. And of course the question becomes, if the Torah already had said that in the context of Kohanim, what does that mean that it's being added over here? Is it a mitzvah that's only for Kohanim? If that's the case, so why is it being repeated over here in Parashas Re'eh? And if it's a mitzvah that applies to Klal Yisrael, so why were the Kohanim singled out in Parashas Emor? So the Ramban goes on to say, V'ato yivar ki lo bavur mailas ha-Kohanim bilavod, shehizkir sham, sheim kedoshim leilokeyem, tzivo bohem zeh, aval kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. The intent of the pasuk over here is to say that whereas the Torah had already commanded the Kohanim back in Parshas Emor that they had to be careful about these things, not to rip out hair, not to cut themselves, because as the pasuk says, Kedoshim Heim Leilokeyem, they are holy, they are sanctified to Hashem, comes our pasuk in Parshas Re'eh and says, you know, it's not just the Kohanim. It's really all of Klal Yisrael. The Ramban somewhat ironically borrows the phrase from Korach, Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. Everybody's really holy. V'kulchem bonim l'Hashem Elokeichem kamo ha'kohanim. And explains the Ramban, that's the connection between the two halves of the pasuk. Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, you are children of God, meaning even you, non-kohanim, bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, even you who are not kohanim are still children of Hashem. Every Jew is kind of like a Kohen in a certain way, and therefore the same way the Kohanim have these special halachas that they're not allowed to mutilate themselves in mourning, that's really a halacha that applies to every Jew. In Cain, Hishamru gamatem b'mitzvah hazos kemosam. Therefore, you non-Kohanim have to observe this halacha as if you were Kohanim. I think perhaps what the Ramban is saying over here is the following idea. Strictly speaking, halachically, there's no reason for the Torah to tell us this halacha twice. In other words, strictly speaking, if all of Klal Yisrael are commanded not to mutilate themselves, not to rip out their hair in mourning, so really there's no reason for the Torah to single out the Kohanim in Parshas Emor. The reason the Torah does it in two stages, first giving it to the Kohanim in Parshas Emor as a mitzvah of Kohanim, and then saying, Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, extending it to the rest of Klal Yisrael, isn't to teach us anything new halachically, but it's to teach us something new conceptually. Meaning, these halachas fundamentally are really halachas of Kohanim. But Klal Yisrael has to understand that on some conceptual level, every Jew is a Kohen. Now again, that's only true on a conceptual level, not on a halachic level, you know? In other words, every Jew is a Kohen doesn't mean that every Jew can eat truma, doesn't mean that every Jew has the dinim of a Kohen. But recall that the Ribbono Shel Olam at Maimon Har Sinai tells Klal Yisrael, V'atem tiyu li mamlechas kohanim v'goy kodosh, you should be to me a nation of kohanim. I don't know whether the Ramban would hold of this particular interpretation, but the Svarno on that pasuk says, even though right now in this existence there are Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim, and we're divided up in Klal Yisrael into those three categories, says the Svarno, La'asid Lavo, in the future, every Jew is going to have on some level the status of a Kohen. So, you know, conceptually it's important for us to realize, I think that's what the Ramban is saying over here, conceptually it's important for us to realize that these dinim, which fundamentally speaking are dinim that apply to Kohanim, extend to Klal Yisrael insofar as every Jew can be considered on some conceptual level to be a Kohen. Then he adds the following. B'yaldas Rabbu Seinu, b'shneim eino elo alames. Chazal say that whether for Kohanim or for the ordinary non-Kohen, this prohibition only applies when ripping out one's hair or cutting oneself as an act of mourning over a dead person who's passed away. Meaning, if you look in Parshas Emor, it never says that the prohibition has anything to do with mourning. It says that doesn't mention lames. Only here it talks about lames. So one way, without Chazal, to read the Psukim would have been to say, the average Jew is not allowed to mutilate himself on occasion of mourning. The Kohen has an extra level of stringency that he can't mutilate himself under any circumstances. But that's not true according to Chazal. According to Chazal, the prohibition both for a Kohen and for a non-Kohen applies davka in a case where it's al hames, it's in a case of mourning. So then we go back to the question, so why then repeat it? So then he writes as follows. So v'yitochen, perhaps one can suggest, shehoisa ha-mitzvah harishono b'kohanim leimor. The reason that the Torah first specifies Kohanim are not allowed to cut themselves or to make a bald spot on their head is to tell us, shimhoya kohen mukroch u'mugdod, that if the Kohen were to engage in such practices, einenu roi lavoda. Not only has he violated a specific prohibition of not cutting himself, of not pulling out his hair, but he disqualifies himself for the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. V'hine avodosam mechuleles. And indeed, says the Ramban, if a Kohen were to cut himself or rip out his hair, not only would he not be allowed to do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, but the avoda that he did would be disqualified even after the fact. So that, says the Ramban, is perhaps why the Torah has to mention it twice. The Torah says here in Parshas Re'eh that the average Jew has these prohibitions. But in Parshas Emor, by labeling it as a mitzvah which has unique application to Kohanim, the Torah is telling us that the stakes by a Kohen are higher. Not only does he violate this lo sa'aseh if he engages in these activities, but he also disqualifies himself from serving in the Beis HaMikdash and would disqualify his avodah. He would disqualify his sacrificial service if he actually did serve in the Beis HaMikdash under these conditions. Rabbi Shevel, in his notes to the Ramban, quotes the Kometz Mincha, one of the commentaries on the Minchas Tinuch, where the Kometz Mincha says, this is a huge chiddush of the Ramban. We know that there are various different things mostly outlined in the Mishnayos and Masechet Zvachim that would either disqualify a Kohen from doing Avodah, or would disqualify avoda once it's done by a Kohen under certain circumstances, but never, ever, ever, never in Shas, never in Poskim do we find that if a Kohen violates these prohibitions, if he rips out his hair, if he cuts himself, that would therefore disqualify himself for doing avoda in the Mikdash, or would disqualify the avoda itself. I mean, it's a very nice idea in terms of explaining the Psukim, But it seems like a wild chiddush, a very novel idea from the Ramban, for him to suggest. Does he have any backing for that idea? Where would be the source for such an idea, other than a way of explaining the psukim? So Rabbi Shavel himself suggests the following interpretation, a possible way of understanding the Ramban. He says that we find in Tanakh that the priests of Avodah Zarah would very often engage in these types of practices as part of their idolatrous worship. Right? So for instance, we find the famous story of Eliyahu at Har HaKarmel. When Eliyahu at Har HaKarmel entreats HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send down fire from the heavens and to burn up his carbon to prove that Hashem is God and the Baal is nothing, so it describes there the standoff between Eliyahu and the Nevi'ei HaBaal, the prophets of Baal. And it says there in Sefer Melachim that when the prophets of Baal called out to their Avodah Zarah and he wouldn't answer them, again, not so surprisingly, so they took knives and they cut themselves as a way of trying to beseech their idol to answer them, to respond to them. So says Rabbi Shavel, so we see that the concept of cutting oneself is not just an act of mourning, but it's actually something which is associated with Avodah Zarah. Oh, we find the halacha, in the halachas of the Kohanim who do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, that if a Kohen once served as a Kohen to Avodah Zarah, in other words, he had a previous career before he signed up to work in the Beis HaMikdash, he had a first career working as a priest for Avodah Zarah, so that itself would disqualify him from doing Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash and would disqualify the Avodah that he did. So suggests Rabbi Shavel, maybe this Chiddush of the Ramban is built on that idea. Maybe the Ramban is saying that a Kohen who cuts himself and rips out his hair has rendered himself a Kohen who is involved in Avodah Zarah by definition, and then we don't have to search for a new category to disqualify this Kohen from doing Avodah in the Mikdash or disqualify his Avodah. It's simply subsumed under the pre-existing category of a Kohen who had served Avodah Zarah previously and now is coming to do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. He's disqualified. He's not allowed, you know, to serve under those circumstances. Maybe, says Rabbi Shavel, maybe that's where the Ramban is coming from in suggesting this Chiddush. In any case, continues the Ramban, quoting first Rashi, then the Ibn Ezra, and then finally a last knetch of his own to try to explain this. Virashi Kosav. Again, let's go to the original question. What does Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem have to do with Losis Godadu? Because you're children of God, therefore you shouldn't cut yourselves. Rashi Kosav, Lefish Atem Bonov Shomakom. The meaning of the pasuk is, says Rashi, because you are the children of Hashem, you're a child of God. You have to look presentable. You have to look nice. If you cut up your skin, if you rip out your hair, you're not presenting yourself in a way which is in a manner which is worthy of being a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the connection between the two parts of the pasuk. Says the Ramban, ve'enenu nachon she'imken tia mitzvah gam shelo al ames. There's a basic problem with this Rashi, according to the way Chazal understand the mitzvah. Rashi's interpretation should lead us to the conclusion that the violation would take place even if a person cuts himself up or rips out his hair, shelo al ames, not in the context of mourning. But that's not what the halacha is. The halacha is that the violation of this iser only applies when it's done al ames. So that's what the pasuk says over here. So Rashi's explanation just doesn't square with the halacha, he says. Okay, then he says, V'Rabbi Avram Omar, the Ibn Ezra suggests another connection between the two parts of the pasuk. He says as follows, a beautiful pshat. Achar sh'teidu sh'atem bonim l'ashem. Every Jew has to realize that he's a child of God. V'hu ohev eschem yoser min ha'av livno. Beautiful lashon of the Ibn Ezra. God loves you not like a father loves his child. Says the Ibn Ezra, God loves you more than a father loves his child. So therefore, lo sisko dedu al komash ya'ase. You should never cut yourself over anything that befalls you in life. Again, what's the context of the person cutting himself in this pasuk? Because he's experienced, Rachman Litzlan, a loss. Someone close to him has passed away, so he's ripping out his hair, he's cutting himself. Says to Ibn Ezra, no. If you appreciate that you're a ben Lashem, that you're one of God's children, you won't do that. Why? Ki kol ma shiyaseh letovu. Because whatever Hashem does is for the best. Vim lo tivinuhu. Even if you don't understand what Hashem is doing, how could Hashem have taken this person away from me? I was so close to that person. I don't know how I'm going to function without that person. I don't understand. It's not fair. It's not right. You're right. You don't understand. But ka'asher lo yovinu habonim haktanim maisei aviyem. Guess what? Little children don't always understand why their parents impose certain things upon them either. Why on earth am I... Why did they ground me? What could possibly be wrong with trying to climb out the fourth story window with a bunch of napkins attached to one another and trying to scale down to the ground? It looked like a lot of fun. I can't understand for the life of me why my parents were upset and, you know, punished me in such a draconian fashion just because I was trying to have a little fun and sneak out of the fourth story window. Okay, when you're a little kid, you don't always understand everything that the parent is doing. But we have this sense of assurance, hopefully, that whatever the parent is doing is for the best. They have my best interests in mind, even if I don't quite understand why they're acting in a certain way. Rak yismuchu alav, so too says the Ibn Ezra, bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. And according to the Ibn Ezra's translation, bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem means, you're like little children, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A little child doesn't always understand why the parent is perhaps punishing the child for this, that, or the other thing. But the little child should know that the parent really loves them, and whatever the parent is doing is ultimately for their benefit. So therefore, says the Ibn Ezra in interpreting the pasuk, you may have experienced a loss, you may not understand what this is all about, you may be despondent, you may be ripping out your hair, you may be cutting yourself. No, that's an overreaction. Understand it's appropriate to feel the sense of loss, but to overreact in that way, to rip out your hair, to cut your skin in response to a loss, shows a lack of emunah in bitachon, a lack of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Realize that banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, you are like little children, you may not understand everything, but realize Hashem has your ultimate best interest in mind with everything that He does. Lufi daiti. The Ramban himself suggests the following third pshat. Lefi daiti tikitam am kadosh havtocha b'kiyum hanefashos lefanav yisparech. The way to understand this pasuk is as follows. The pasuk goes on to say, ki am kadosh atol Hashem Elokecha, because you are a holy nation before Hashem. What does it mean that you're a holy nation before Hashem? So says the Ramban, here the Torah is telling us that every Jew is promised that his soul is immortal, is going to last forever. There's certainly a concept that a non-Jew can have an immortal soul as well. We spoke in a different context a few weeks back about the concept from Chazal, Chasidei Umos HaOlam, Yesh Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba, the righteous among the Gentiles have a place in the world to come, which again on a certain level is talking about the Hisharus HaNefesh, the eternity, the immortality of the soul. But when it comes to the Jewish people, it's more universal than that. We say, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba. Every Jew has a place in the world to come. In other words, every Jew has an immortal soul. Because you're part of the Am Kadosh, because you're part of the holy nation, therefore, it's Haftacha B'kiyum HaNefashos Lefon of Yisbarach. We're promised that our souls are going to be immortal, that they're going to be everlasting. And the Pasuk means as follows. Yomar, the Pasuk means, Me'acharei Sha'ata Am Kadosh Uskulas Hashem. Because you are a holy nation, and the special treasure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'lo Yiso Elokim Nefesh, V'choshav Machshavos Levil Teyidach Mimenu Nidach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never going to push aside anyone from Him. He's going to ensure the immortality of all the nefashos. Therefore, Ein Roi Lachem Lehiskodeidu Likareach Al Nefesh. It's never appropriate to mourn excessively over the loss of any person. It's appropriate to mourn. There's a mitzvah of Avelus that comes from the Torah. But the kind of mourning that would translate into the person mutilating himself, ripping out his hair, tearing his skin, that's overdoing it. Now, I could understand, perhaps, says the Ramban, that you might want to mourn in that excessive fashion if the person, when they die, disappears and is gone and is, you know, is never coming back in any kind of way. But once you realize that even when a person dies, the neshama lives on, if you really believe that, so then whatever sense of mourning, whatever sense of loss we have, is always going to be tempered. In a sense, what we believe when a person passes away is that they've just left on a journey. They're still here. They're not accessible to us anymore, but it's, you know, the mashal would be, you know, their ship sets sail. They've left our presence, but they're, as we say, you know, in a little bit of a colloquial sense, they're in a better place. They really are in a better place. So if you really believe that, you wouldn't tear yourself to shreds, literally, because you believe that the neshama is still alive. I feel we almost been Noah. That's true, even if the person passes away, Rachmana Litzlan, at a young age. You say, oh, what a tragedy. It is on a certain level a tragedy, no doubt. But if you believe that the person's neshama is still existent, is still there, so the tragedy is tempered, because we understand that, you know, the person isn't really lost. Below Yesor Hakosav Habichi. Now, the Torah never prohibits us from crying. It's not as if the Torah says you're not allowed to cry when a person passes away. You may say, according to this Ramban, that everybody who's dying, their neshama is still intact. All right, so why should we have laws of Avelus at all? Why should we mourn at all? You know, on a certain level, maybe you should say we should be happy that the person has gone on to a better place. No, the Torah doesn't say that. Ki hateva yisorel livkos befirud ha'olavim. Look, even when two friends separate from one another in life, and you know that the other person is still alive, but you're not going to see them again for whatever the reason, so, you know, the natural inclination is to cry. That's normal, that's natural, that's a good thing. In fact, the Torah, again, as we said, has a law of Avelus, has a mitzvah of Avelus. But that's crying. But to overdo it, that shows a lack of belief in the immortality of the soul. And then he says, "Umikan smach l'rabu seinu, ba'asra mehilsabel anefesh yoser midai." Gemara in Moed Katan tells us that even though there's a mitzvah of avelos, you're not allowed to mourn over a person excessively. How did Chazal know that? Where did they get the idea that you're not allowed to mourn over a person excessively? So says the Ramban, they got it from this pasuk. Bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. Your neshamos are eternal. Your children of Hashem, your neshamos are eternal. Therefore, it's not appropriate for you to mourn excessively. It's appropriate to mourn, but it's not appropriate to mourn excessively given the fact that we know that the neshama is eternal, and, you know, that the person on some spiritual level is still here even after they pass away in a physical sense. The Shem Yishmuel quotes his father, the Avnei Nezer, who uses this Ramban in a very interesting way to discuss a drasha, famous drasha, that Chazal have based on this pasuk. The pasuk says, "Lo siskodidu," which again on the simple level means you're not allowed to mutilate yourself by cutting up your skin as a sign of mourning. We also know Chazal famously have a drasha on this pasuk, that "Lo siskodidu" can be interpreted, "Lo sasu agudos agudos." Right, you're not allowed to make different groups of Jews doing different things. Right, in other words, Jews should try to be as united in practice as possible. Obviously, that's not always carried out 100%, but, you know, as much as possible within one kehillah, within one grouping, within one community, there should be a certain uniformity of practice, at least when it comes to certain things. I guess to take a very, 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 very basic example, you know, so we daven Ashkenazi here in the shul. So again, if a person comes to the shul and daven Sfard personally, that's great. But if you go up to the Amud and you do anything that's public, so you follow the minhag Ashkenaz of the shul, let's just go to the, we shouldn't be breaking off into two different groups and following two different ways of doing things within the same kehillah. The same kehillah should have a certain kind of uniformity when it comes to practice. Lo siskodidu. So the Avnei Nezer asked the question, you know, lo siskodidu, in the simple pshat, don't cut yourself, And losis godedu, in the sense of don't make agudos agudos, different groupings, both work off the same word, but they seem to be profoundly different ideas. As usually when there's a pshat, a simple interpretation of the pasuk, and then there's a drasha, a deeper interpretation of the pasuk, at least the two ideas are somewhat similar to one another. Here the pshat says one thing, and the drasha of Chazal introduces a totally different idea, you know, nothing to do with mutilating yourself, but rather, you know, Klal Yisrael shouldn't break up into splinter groups, everyone doing their own thing. Is there any way to connect the pshat and the drash one to another? So the Shem Yishmuel quotes from his father, the Avnei Nezer, yeah, the following idea, based on this Ramban. The Ramban told us that why is it that we're not allowed to mutilate ourselves? Because we believe that there's a neshama that every Jew has, which is eternal. And even after the person passes away, the neshama is still there. So to mutilate yourself as a sign of mourning expresses a lack of belief in the existence of that neshama. Similarly, says the Avnei Nezer, it's important for us to realize that all of Klal Yisrael, on some level, is neshama achas begufin muchlakin. We're all one neshama. We just happen to have different bodies. There's an interconnectedness between all of Klal Yisrael. Mimela, the same way that a person who mutilates himself challenges the idea of the eternity, the immortality of the individual neshama, so too, when Klal Yisrael breaks into different groups, everyone doing their own thing, that's challenging the notion of the overarching neshama that unites all of Klal Yisrael together as one. So the two concepts, losis godedu, don't cut yourself, and losis godedu, don't break off into various different splinter groups, ultimately go back to this idea of our belief in the neshama, whether it's the individual neshama of the individual Jew, or the broader neshama, which unites all of the Jewish people together as one. So there are many, many different concepts. You know, the belief in the immortality of the neshama, the belief that Hashem is ultimately looking out for our best interests, very basic hashkafa ideas, which are contained within this pasuk. And as much as I don't think the average person nowadays has a big taiva to cut himself up, to rip out his, whatever hair he has left, you know, on the top of his head, and nonetheless, the hashkafas are things that are eternally relevant, and certainly things that we should always take to heart.